Hello and welcome back to Podcasting as Practice. I'm David, my pronouns are he and him.
I'm James, my pronouns are they and them.
I'm Jamie, my pronouns are he and him.
I'm Rob, mine are he and him.
And I'm Alistair, my pronouns are also he and him.
Hooray. Podcasting.
Got it in one, baby.
Exactly.
Brought to you by the power of drugs.
Better drugs living through chemistry.
Drugs and taurine, the two things this podcast relies on.
It's not just taurine, it's like vitamin B12. I think there's some water in there, allegedly.
Yeah.
They're working to remove that.
Yeah, that's not juice.
So tonight's main topic is about the dangers of H2O to the human body.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only a two away from something very nasty, so I don't trust it.
Yeah. Why we recommend drinking only pure food colouring at 2 litres a day.
Yeah, E numbers are safe. E's a very reassuring letter, so...
I've heard the E's are good.
Yeah.
Can confirm.
I think a wise philosopher once said that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, did you want me to start an episode or something? Or are we just hanging around for fun?
Just going to chill out for the week.
We're just vibing. We've all taken E and we're just sitting here in a feeling of love.
No.
You have not taken E.
No, I've never taken E in my life. I'm the least E person in the planet. So,
yeah. Yes. Everybody knows.
Yeah, things we didn't need to heal. The safest assumption of all assumptions.
My neurochemistry is too fragile to fuck around with anything that's not prescribed by my doctor, frankly, so...
Wrong.
My neurochemistry is too fragile to not fuck around with things, really, because leaving it as it is just a fucking disservice to myself.
I am just beautiful in any way.
Doing the equivalent
Maybe Rob is on the E tonight.
Don't need it, Rob.
Why don't you?
You know why I don't need it? Because I've got leveling up to talk about. You know, just the things that
time for commentary at them.
I held it in my hands and I said, "Does this spark joy for the podcast?" And I said, "Yes, it did." The latest part of the Rob part. Yeah, the me part. The latest announcements of the leveling up funds are out, and lots of them weirdly seem to be going to like really marginal constituencies where like Tory MPs are just about holding on like by their fingernails, basically, which is weird. Funny. It's not what you'd expect, basically. But you know, among all the various silly projects, there was just the one winner I wanted to briefly.
Yeah, sorry guys, I need to move all of these pork barrels out of my office.
Yeah. Actually, if you're listening, Jeremy Hunt, we too are a Tory marginal podcast. If you shower us with millions, then, you know, maybe.
We'll accept the definition of pork barrel to include pepperami.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, standard, to be fair, like...
The standard Brent crew drum, but filled with pepperami.
I mean, that's what we do in Britain. We do what Americans do, but just low budget. So, like, a barrel full of pepperamis and not even actual pork is exactly what we should be expecting.
Yeah.
And also, like, every time an MP sends us a pepperami, we will withhold one nasty comment about them. So I think this is a pretty sound deal, frankly.
That's by the barrel.
It should be one pepperami, but with the girth of a crude oil barrel.
I'd be just as nasty at them, but around a mouthful of pepperami.
Yeah.
Work stoppage when you think
about it. Forget stuff their mouths with gold. Stuff their mouths with pepperamis.
Yeah. Join our Discord for the totally unregulated Barrow O Pepperami secondary futures market.
Save it for the break, Rob.
Oh, yeah, anyway, we should probably mention that, shouldn't we? We're doing ads now, so yeah, the ads are for us. Like, you'll hear the ads, but subscribe to stop hearing the ads.
Yeah, it's the only way to stop us, or to encourage us.
This is your only warning.
Yeah. We'll just do this the one time. Anyway, so the one bit that I wanted to, from the leveling up thing that I wanted to single out was, this is from Inside Housing, a £118 million loan to accelerate the delivery of up to 750 homes in Canary Wharf, alongside
a life-size...
Have you always wanted to live amongst the bankers? This is your choice.
Have you always wanted to live like within walking distance of overpriced patisseries and Waitrose and a bunch of pricks on more cocaine than you'll ever see in your life?
I've been to Edinburgh and the answer is no.
It's not just 750 homes, though. There will also be a life sciences hub, as well as commercial space and a healthcare facility. So it's not all bad news. You know, now if you OD on cocaine, you can just go, you know, around the corner.
Yeah,
see, the healthcare facility, how wellness oriented is it going to be?
Yeah, the one complaint I've always had about Canary Wharf is that there wasn't enough commercial space.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, apparently in this boat really comes as a galloping shock to any of you, but like Canary Wharf itself is really struggling since like working from home became a real thing, especially in, you know, white collar jobs, and office space just commands like less of a premium and is therefore literally worth less. So, you know, I'm not sure, because I tried to find some more details.
Can I just say it? A blue, blue, blue. I don't give a fuck.
Do you know what I mean? The world's smallest violin is playing the highest aria. It's just fuck it. Fuck them. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's parts of Glasgow which have been struggling since well before work from home. Can we get some of that cash maybe? No? Never mind.
No, of course not. The reason I mentioned it
to Lord Anal Sugar.
The reason I mentioned this is not to make you like...
Canary Wharf is not going to survive without £118 million worth of investment. It needs to be saved. It's a cult site of cultural heritage. It needs to be preserved.
Is that building that melts Lamborghinis in Canary Wharf?
Yes. No, that is the walkie-talkie, which is in the City of London.
Yeah, oh, we'll just do away with it then.
You know, capital Sorry. C, City of London.
Didn't another car get like fucking murked outside of Canary Wharf, but by a building that was reflecting light from Canary Wharf?
That's the one that everyone knows is the walkie-talkie. It does happen. It's been happening more and more because of who knows why. Why is everything getting warmer? But the one that everyone's seen,
it could
is,
be climate change, or it could be that it's a stupid idea to build a fucking skyscraper shaped like Archimedes' death ray.
I love to go to work in the vivarium of London.
Would not recommend.
Sprinkling a little cocaine at the top of a vivarium just, you know, to get them going.
£180 million to develop a Command and Conquer obelisk to be erected in the middle of Canary Wharf. I would approve of that, actually.
Look, the shard's already there. We can just retrofit that fucker.
If it turns out that's just like Kane's long plan for a Brotherhood of Nod to emerge in Canary Wharf, I'm down for this. Yes, let's do it.
You don't realise it, but it's actually made out of a Tiberium alloy.
Look, if it turns out that One Canada Square in Canary Wharf is actually a secret temple of Nod, I will completely 180 my position on Canary Wharf. You do, in fact, gotta hand it to them.
I'm not gonna hand it to them until they build this giant skyscraper that looks like a Tesla coil.
I'm telling you, the shard is already there.
Yeah. What do you think the £180 million is for, Jamie? Like, it's luxury living and, you know, a death ray. What more do you want?
I'm with Jamie on this. That the shard is more like an obelisk of Nod. We're not in the good timeline where the Soviet Union continues to exist to this day. I'm sorry. You know, if you want that, you're going to have to go talk to Albert Einstein and get him to build you a chronosphere.
I just want to be able to walk the streets of London and hear the get him on the whoop noise that the Tesla coils make.
Just see people in like a 3-block radius, like all just jump behind the nearest bin to avoid being hit.
Yeah, and then one guy gets hit by it, and you get to see their skeleton. It's all
do a little dance. Yeah, it's fucking incredible.
Yeah,
yeah, they float off the ground and wiggle their arms up and down. It's great.
We'll add get Einstein to reinstate the Soviet Union to the list of things to do with a time machine that me and David came up with on Piece of Home yesterday.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the reason I mentioned this is obviously not to feel bad for, you know, the property developers who own Canary Wharf, which incidentally is the Qatari sovereign investment fund and the infrastructure and private equity giant Brookfield, who, like, between them, I think, are easily over 100 billion in assets. So, like, I don't feel bad for them. But, you know, that's the reason they're getting this. And I have the strong suspicion that part of that 118 million pound loan is going to be to, you know, do the thing that they've been threatening for a while, which is to refurbish office blocks to become apartments, which, like, every time that's been tried, it's been a fucking nightmare.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm the guy that lives in, like, 5 Canada Square, getting an overlook over the like the overground line where protesters get to super glue themselves to it, which, to be fair, would be a great sight because it's very funny when that happens.
Is this about cubicle living I've heard about?
Yeah, so like one of the people who owned part of Canary Wharf was like, they put out this bullshit press release that I read, was like, oh yeah, Canary Wharf is actually really sought after by property buyers as well as renters, and demand vastly exceeds supply, and, you know, it's great, blah de blah. And it's and I'm just thinking, like, well, if it's also great and desired and high priced, why do you need that leveling up funding then? I think, you know, maybe it's not one of those things. But really, it's just, look, it's just part of the reason the Tory Party exists is to support, you know, property developers and keep their values up. And this is part of the bargain. So, you know, that's, you know, leveling up doesn't work for anybody except for donors to the Tory Party, which is not a galloping shock. But that's just briefly why I wanted to mention it.
Mm-mm. Unless you're trying to level up the tech tree.
Yes, exactly. That is 100% true. Speaking of people in bed with property developers and others, it's been another 2 weeks or so of fiscal responsibility bullshit from Labour, specifically this time from Liz Kendall and Rachel Reeves. And I thought we should spend a little bit of time talking about the, you know, upcoming plans for the government that may or may not come, depending on whether or not you believe David.
Which you should, and it won't.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, a resounding update from Liz Kendall on how youths should be using computers.
The resounding update, this is from a piece, of course, in the Telegraph interviewing Liz Kendall. Quote, Labour will fight the next election as the party of work and warns the jobless that they will not be able to live
joblets.
A life on benefits.
Benefits claimants to be retitled as joblets.
Yeah, they're going to fire the job seekers out of a cannon into jobland where jobs grow on joblets.
Joblet sounds like a particularly nasty cut of meat, basically, is what I'm thinking. Just that.
Yeah. Liz, quote the Telegraph again. Liz Kendall said young people will be told they have a... they have a responsibility to accept jobs or training opportunities when they are offered. Now, look, again, much like the leveling up, is not new news. But why I briefly wanted to talk about this is I have, with the rare exception from, you know, the brief interlude with Jeremy Corbyn, I have heard nothing from Margaret Thatcher or Gordon Brown or Tony Blair or David Cameron or George Osborne Boris Johnson.
She's dead.
No, but it's like, but the thing is always the same. Like, what is, you know, the Tories are the party of work. Labour is the party of work. We're going to have more people on benefits. More young people need to be in jobs. Like, they've always said the same fucking thing. And we're here 40 years later at this point now. And it's just like,
yeah,
why?
Well, that's just because we're not fucking doing it hard enough. What if we killed more people for, like, talking back to their work culture? But that would sort everything out.
Well, actually, there is a little bit more substance to this, Jamie. They have this specifically again for young people. What they are going to do is they are going to hire 1,000 new careers advisors. So you can go to a guy who can tell you that your job is to be a future bin man.
I thought AI was supposed to do that.
Look, being a bin man is an honest, you know, profession job. That should be respected. So, like, the main issue with this is, like, you know, it's exactly what
being a future bin man is even cooler because you get like a fucking, do you know what I mean, a hat with a light on it and like cyber gloves to pick up the bin with.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly instead, maybe they replace the bin lorry with a mech. How cool would that be? You just piloting one guy piloting a mech around, just picking up the bins and just emptying them into his backpack.
Just a slightly depressed Transformer doing the rounds, going, "Oh yeah, well, it's a living."
Yeah.
I mean, this is just part 110 million of the Labour right is we promise we're not going to discipline capital. We're only ever going to discipline labour because we need to force people into all these shitty jobs that you literally cannot survive off of, lest we take away any sort of social safety net.
They should absolutely do my Transformer Bin Man plan, because then in like another 50 years time, you'll have like old people on Facebook too going, "Remember when the Autobots were hard?"
What we need to do is arm the bin men, and then no one can make those shitty memes about how the bin men used to be hard, because this time around they're just going to shoot you.
No, but like, they'll only shoot you for woke reasons, like mixing the recycling.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair.
Yeah. Quote Liz Kendall again briefly. "Labour is the party of work. Labour was founded by working people for working people. It is our name. And under Keir Starmer and the Change Labour Party, work will be at the heart of what we do. We believe in the value of work."
Do you know what it is? Labour is the party of go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Labour is the party of come down here and fucking make me. That's what Labour's the party of now. Like, if anyone needs me, I'll be on the dole.
Well, I mean... It's fucking incredible as well. It's just, I mean, now there's even less difference between the parties, but this is kind of, they've been doing this since, I think, pretty much Starmer walked through the door, but this, like, Labour is the party of work, you know, this, like, you know, because they always talk about working families, working parents, working, work, as if, it's almost a sort of Protestant, like, Whiggist thing, that, like, the thing that ennobles, you know, the that embiggens the smallest man is work itself, as if you need to toil in order to prove that you are a valued member of society.
Labour is the party of set you free. Honestly, fuck the lot of them. I'm sick of hearing about the cunts, do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, the problem specifically, and this was echoed across a number of interviews also by Starmer and Reeves themselves, was like...
General election, if it happens, and anyone who doesn't vote for Meteorite is dead to me.
Yes, yes, that is the official, podcasting's praxis. Pick, it's the lock of the week. Vote Meteorite.
Yeah, right. It's writing candidate. So, yeah, make sure you get that on your ballot.
I mean, so the thing that they've been saying, because, like, you know, there was the new budget, which I don't want to go into too much detail because it's all just PR for the election. It's a bit boring. But, like, now Labour's being asked, like, right, how are you going to, you know, you keep talking about growing the economy, how are you growing the economy? And they have two answers. It's, like, reform planning laws, bunch of bullshit. And the other one, consistently, like, and that's a new thing in the last week or two, is they say... how are you going to grow the economy? And then they immediately start talking about the number of, like, people on sickness and disability benefits, that there's like 600,000 of them now. And they just start, like, making ominous noises that, like, the sick and the disabled need to start, like, pulling their weight because, you know, those shifty layouts.
It's almost as though we had a fucking pandemic very recently, until right now still also, that may or may not have had an effect on some people's fucking health. But no, what's happened is these people are lazy and they definitely don't have any kind of disability, so therefore, back into fucking McDonald's with you, if you can even get a job that good.
Yeah, I mean, they just won't do anything for the sick and disabled from COVID because there would be an inherent admission of liability in it.
That's not true.
They will definitely do something for them. That thing that they're going to do is end the lives quicker so they don't need to hear about it anymore.
If Labour really were interested in getting disabled people back into work, they would be promising a slew of protections and, rights for people who are in work, who can, ensuring flexibility, better guarantees on sick pay and improved sick pay, things like this, things that mean that if you have a disability that, might wax and wane in terms of its severity and impact, you will be able to keep your job and be able to work as a disabled person. But no, it's not that. It's fuck you. You're not going to get anything if you don't shuffle off down to fucking Starbucks.
Yeah. I mean, I genuinely find it sort of almost, I mean, look, again, this is nothing new. This is the most, like, sort of latter era Blair time of all time, you know? Like, it was just,
yeah, we've tried Blairism and we're all out of ideas.
When all they had left was like just punishing people viciously and consistently, like that was quite literally all they had left. Like that was the entire game. That was what they had remaining. And it's to see it again, just like so nakedly. I've asked this question many times. I know it's rhetorical, but it's like, what the fuck are these people for? Like, why do we have them? Why do we need them? What is any of this for? You know, like what is the point of these people? And the point of these people is, and this is, I'm on the switch now to a fucking long fucking profile in the Telegraph weekend magazine of Rachel Reeves, which was a disturbing fucking read in the altogether. And I read it.
Is this the one where they caught her in a toilet?
Yes. Yeah, it is the one where she had that really weird like picture taken of like being a bathroom attendant, or more likely, you know, a gender cop, to be fairly honest.
Hmm.
Wonderful.
She does the traditional thing that they've been doing again for the last 2 weeks, quote the Telegraph, quoting Rachel Reeves, "We weren't poor, but we didn't have the money to spare, and my mother wanted to make sure that everything added up. I remember sitting there at the kitchen table and saying, 'What are you doing?' and her explaining to me, 'I've always felt that it's really important to look after your own money, because, you know, the household budget, the state budget.'"
If it is true, she promptly ignored, because let's ask a few questions about Rachel Reeves' parliamentary credit card and what happened to that.
I think you call that the curse of remembering, Alistair, and we don't do that in Britain.
Yes, as we know, this is the podcast that gifts you with the burden of knowledge.
And just, if you want to give like a little bit of, you know, Rachel Reeves the younger, you know, how cool she was as a 17-year-old. She joined the Labour Party age 17, convincing teachers to let her skip school and go door knocking on election day in 1997. She still remembers the thrill of New Labour's landslide victory. It was fantastic.
Yeah, so that she could ensure that no one else ever skipped school again, lest they get fined.
Bet the fucking teachers were like, took a lot of convincing to let her skip school. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Can I have the day? Yeah, go on, run, go now. Take the whole day.
Have you considered taking an extra day?
Take the week. Yeah.
Yet another example of pulling the ladder up behind themselves, but over just because, again, Britain is a low rent bullshit version of America, pulling up the ladder for something completely asinine, skipping school to go and fucking canvas. Hell yes.
Labour don't pull the ladder up. That's really the wrong way to think about this. What they do is they get up above the ladder and then they lean over the top of it and they very slowly saw through it while maintaining eye contact with you.
Honestly, I've just got the...
If you're 17, is it even skipping school? Is it not just like being an adult at that point?
I think that's called a free period.
Yeah, but that's a good question. I genuinely don't know. Is there like a duty for you to be in school up to a certain point, or can you just like piss off?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, like at 17, you could still be in school if you were at sixth form, but I'm pretty sure like you can just leave. You can just walk out whenever you want, because it's not school. They're not going to send snipers after your parents if you bunk off like fucking your A-levels or whatever.
Pulling the ladder up once again.
So the extremely annoying synthesis of this is that, yeah, when you're above, I believe at 16, you can basically leave school. That's like the age you're supposed to stay in it until, at least in Scotland, and I think it's in England as well.
Yeah, I think there's some like changes to it recently, but yeah, more or less.
However, when you leave, you have to get like a form signed, because this is the most British thing ever. And if you don't get that form signed, basically discharging you from the system, then it's bunking off.
Yeah, but also this happened in 1997, so who knows what actually were the rules and who cares.
Mm.
Yeah. So just a little bit more of her personal history, because it's I think it's because these people always reveal a little bit too much about themselves. This is about her. She's talking about when she stepped down from the shadow cabinet during the Corbyn years. She was work and pensions secretary under Corbyn, by the way, lest we forget. In the end, she had to see off an attempt by Corbynites to deselect her. It was appalling, she recalls. I had to go through a reselection. It was horrible.
Oh.
An organized group of people trying to deselect me because I'm not enough of a communist or whatever.
That's right.
You should consider yourself lucky if the communists are trying to deselect you.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
can we not select her? I can think of several programs that she'd be an excellent candidate for.
Yeah, move over, like her.
But just as... So, but it's for me, it's just like, it's just the pure fucking entitlement of that, like, oh, yeah. You know, I had to, there was so many people wanted to deselect me. It's like, you know, just, I know, not surprising, New Labour hates fucking
oh my God, people try to engage in democracy. Fuck that. Yeah. That's horrendous.
It really is fucking don't just incredible.
Don't they know how many hands her dad had to shake to get her that job?
Yeah, no, I mean, it really is fucking wild. But then, I think this weekend I think it was an interview. She was on telly with, Laura Koonsberg, a real fucking, you know, meeting of the minds. And like, if anything convinces you to like vote for this, just frankly, just appalling HR manager of a person, David. I did ask you to clip the audio for this.
Yeah, here you go.
One of your colleagues scurrilously told me that you care so much about not wasting anything. When you go to big business breakfasts, you get them to nick the pastries and the leftovers and take them back to the office. Is that true?
I don't think she said nick. I don't like waste. I don't like waste of expenditure. I don't like any waste. And so when you go to these events and there's all these pastries left out at the end, we ask whether we can take them back to the office and share them with colleagues. Living out my values in practice, no waste under a Rachel Reeves chancellorship.
There you go. Well, I'm sure you asked very politely, but very politely, it's always good to have you with us in this chair. One of you...
Jesus.
Imagine...
Rachel Reeves.
Imagine being able to sound less human than ChatGPT.
Credit card, right. Let's just remind ourselves how much she had on that credit card. Rachel Reeves.
It was 4,300 yep. something, I think.
£4,033.63 yeah. pence. Thanks, Guardian, for that. So she had a parliamentary credit card suspended for owing that amount of money. So yeah, she hates waste unless it is literally her wasting. I mean, if you like to call it this, Flesh. Taxpayer money. I hate this so much.
Yeah, it's not. But you know,
what was she spending it on?
Doodads.
Flesh.
This and that.
Giggles. Flesh. New flesh. during
a nice new lining for the command capsule.
But just imagine that, like, you know, she's sitting there preparing with, I'm sure, a bunch of horrible fucking briefcase cunts who are, like, preparing her for that interview. And it's like, right, what's a fun anecdote to show that you are both, you know, unbelievably frugal, but also a fun human being? Yeah, I'm the person who hoovers up all the mini croissants after the big important breakfast that I just attended because I hate waste. You know, that thing that humanizes you in the eyes of the audience.
Returning to the fucking Labour mothership with a fucking bin bag full of sausage rolls that you've just scooped off a fucking, like, room temperature plate.
Sausage rolls? Don't be foolish, Jamie. It's full of ones.
Where a bunch of fucking bankers have, like, coughed all over it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just...
I can't wait for her to climb into the command seat of the state. And by state, I mean the Soyuz capsule.
I mean, the only upside of all that, Jamie, is basically that, like, the coughed over croissants would just be fed to people in Labour HQ. And quite frankly, I can't imagine a better fucking audience for that stuff. But just, yeah. I wonder the more I see of these people, the more they, like, they sort of display themselves is like the less human and the less appealing they become. It really is fucking remarkable.
I wonder if we could coax her into the capsule with, you know, just a little spread in there, just to be like, oh, so it's all going in the bin in 10 minutes. So like, help yourself. Yeah, yeah.
Just half fill the.
Close the door behind you so no one can see you.
Yeah. You can probably just stick a best before date on the chair.
Yeah, just one last thing from all of this, and then we'll move on from Labour because they are just really fucking appalling. She was also interviewed because, you know, it's her big PR weekend. She was interviewed by Sky News and asked about whether Labour would bail out all those councils that are blowing up all over the place, you know, because of austerity. Asked about whether she would bail out the councils, allow them to raise taxes, or tell them to sink or swim, Ms. Reeves said, "I'm under no illusion about the scale of the challenge that I will inherit if I become Chancellor later this year, and I need to be honest with people." She added, "My focus is on reforming the planning system to get Britain building again. If we do those things, we will bring in the tax revenue and we will be able to invest in public services again. There are no shortcuts. That is the way." So if you're...
No, you won't.
Shut the fuck up.
No, you won't. You won't bring any more fucking money by reforming planning systems, right? because private construction companies are sitting on land in order to maximise the returns on the building of the houses. This is a structural problem that you will refuse to address. And we know this because you are talking about saving pastries.
What if they built the houses even cheaper than before?
Yeah. What if we could just like build your entire balcony out of mini croissants?
Not just the balcony, but the entire facade.
What if instead of a mortgage for first-time buyers, banks just gave you a bunch of cubes and told you to get on with it, Minecraft style?
I know that you said we weren't going to talk about the budget and stuff, but why is she doing all this shit on her big PR fucking push rather than talking about how she doesn't have a policy left after the Tories did the non-dom thing?
Well, I mean, for one, the Tories didn't really do the non-dom thing, but...
Well, they didn't, but they did it well enough to the point where Labour could no longer say they're going to do the non-dom thing. So the one fucking way that they had left to raise money is now gone. So their own fucking argument on their own terms no longer makes sense because they boxed themselves into a fucking idiot corner.
They weren't going to do it anyway, though, were they?
Probably not, no.
No.
They would have done it to the same non-extent that the Tories have and then said they've done it. It doesn't matter, but the point is that...
Find it hard to get, like, honestly, this is like fucking trying to get me to care about Game of Thrones. Do you know what I mean? These people aren't real. I do not give a fuck what they're up to.
It's about as well fucking written. Like,
Rachel Reeves is a modern Cersei Lannister, me in The Guardian.
Fuck. Shame.
Anyway, that is enough of all that piss because I can't bear talking about the Labour Party. I want to talk about one more bit, and then I want to read a article that I read, which is incredibly very normal. But before we do that, I wanted to briefly talk about Astraea Academy briefly again, the anti-shitting school that we talked about with November when we did the episode about.
What's Australia done now?
So this is a different school, also run by them. It's called the Ernulf, E-R-N-U-L-F. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Right, okay. I'm going to have to ask what Ernulf was doing between the years 1933 to 1945.
Yeah, basically, I don't really know whether or not this specific school also has, like, the anti-shitting, like, you know, grating that comes down in the other school we talked about.
The anti-shitting pro-sofa agenda.
Yeah, but it definitely, like, looks like it. Basically, education... Uncovered.
I'm anti-shitting pro-sofa, and I like to take some painkillers and lie down.
Yeah, take that sofa to a local public toilet, David, and you just, right there.
You get a free show. basically, Education Uncovered, so I think it's Warren Mansell. They got their hands or were given the resignation letter from one of the teachers from Beowulf Academy. And I wanted to read you a little bit, little bits from it. Children at the school. This is from the article. Children.
I wish it was all. I hope it's all written in Old English. That'd be great. Everyone sit down so we can learn what a thorn is.
Oh, that Grendel. He's always in detention, he is.
Grendel, pro or anti-shitting? This is important.
This is from the accompanying article. Children at the school have to carry character cards in which aspects of good or bad behavior can be recorded by staff. The cards feature the Trust's Astraea Ascent behavior charts with a statement that says, "We want to make good choices using the Astraea Ascent," and the mantra is, "It is who I am."
What the fuck?
Yeah, basically there are like it's a 5-step process.
I think the only solution to, like, you know, modern Britain's problems is we have to start putting teachers through that fucking like test from Blade Runner before they're allowed to work.
I should specify,
a child is on
though,
the floor shitting and you're not helping them. Why?
Knowing Britain, it would turn into the test from Blade Runner 2049 pretty quickly. Just testing them to make sure they have no sympathy before we let them work. Mm.
I mean, I should specify, Jamie, that like this is not the teachers, basically. Like the teachers, you know, maybe not all of them, but certainly some of them have like the same problem with Astraea that we do, which is that it's an inhuman, you know, fucking system.
Then why just did they resign orders, instead they? Of burning it down?
Yeah, like I love to go to Ernulf Academy to just follow orders.
Yeah,
they got him out of trouble.
No, basically, right. If you're curious, and I don't know if you are, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway. So I have the Education Uncovered had a photo of the Astraea Ascent chart. This is also you have to carry it around because it's where your punishments are logged on as well. If you're a student, so basically
the Ernulf Chaos Dragon and the Dragon of Order.
Yeah. So
have bins at that school?
Well, I think not. this is very German. I think you're onto something, David, because this is very much papers please. Like, you know, if you are a kid at this school and you do not have your disciplinary papers on you at all times, you're going to be deported to detention.
Because that'd be sweet. You know what I mean? They just kicked you out. We've got no record of you at this school because you put the fucking like stupid card we gave you in the bin, so now you get to go home.
Yeah,
play Xbox.
Incorrectly answering back when I'm told tabs. Good luck going into the exam.
Yeah.
Mm. No, so the
teacher
the
asks
chart...
you to put your fingers up for the answer and you put up three in the wrong way.
So the chart basically works as such. It says the Astraea Ascent, and then it says, what motivates me when I make the right choice? And the right choice is to behave as the school wants you to, which is as, you know, a little robot. So step one is also, you know, the color is...
I bet they don't accept anything for a quiet life as a valid answer, do they?
Well, sort of, step one, and this is colored in like literally in black, and it says, I want to avoid negative consequences. You know,
same.
Very...
This is a thing where they're meant to escalate up and take on the right and internalize the right view, where actually they're doing it for the right reasons, isn't it?
It is, because step two is, I want recognition and
rewards.
Oh,
that's why
they
call it the ascent, right? Okay, I'm on board now. This is the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, we only called it the ascent because, you know, Dante's Inferno was already taken, but here we are.
Also only 5 levels, but step three, I want others to trust me and to build relationships. You know, because I can't talk in the fucking cafeteria, so I probably have to develop sign language, I guess, or, you know, learn to tap the pipes like in the fucking Great Escape or something. Step four, I want a great future. And step five, when you fully internalize the message of Astraea Academy.
See, when you said tap the pipes there, my first thought was like you would tap a phone, like there's a bunch of German like fucking guards just listening to water. Which, to be honest, would be a very British school thing to do. Like, there's too much water going through this pipe. Someone's using the fucking toilet again.
But yeah, step five is it is who I am. So like once you've sort of ascended the tortuous ranks of Astraea Academy and you've internalized everything that they are, then you know you are finally a good person. And isn't that nice for you?
Yeah, studiousness guarantees citizenship.
Yes.
Yet another day at my wonderful school / pyramid scheme.
Yeah. If you don't follow all the rules, then someone follows you around at all times and takes pictures of you in public.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that, David.
This sounds like it's going to end. It sounds like it's going to end with some fucking line that's like, "You must obey, friend computer," and like, what the fuck?
You get sent away to go to school on a ship, and you're not heard of for like 9 months of the year.
At what stage of this like fucking ascent do they like measure your thetans?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, what they definitely do use this chart for, or at least I imagine the back of the paper, is to record infractions. And infractions, we'll talk about a little bit about how quickly those come in a second. But like even minor ones are basically an immediate like post-school 45-minute detention. And the school does have like a habit like of not really informing like the parents on time. So like if you're waiting at the school gate to like get your kid from prison, then like basically you might not have been told that you actually need to be there 45 minutes later. So like if you have shift work or something, you can basically go fuck yourself, which is very helpful.
Hello parent or guardian, your child is happy, healthy and alive.
Yeah. Does the law about like, you know, getting like fucking bombed, your house bombed from the air if your kid skip school, does that apply to detention as well?
No, that's extra skill. That's the opposite thing.
No, but I mean, like, can you? Because you could just tell your kid if you get detention, just ignore it and come home.
I think at that point, like, 22 SAS just like rolls out of Herefordshire and just comes into like tear gas your entire house.
Just imagining like a whole bunch of parents standing outside the school gates asking for proof of life at this point. Yeah, great, awesome.
Well, I mean, proof of life is sort of the obvious or like the obverse that this school wants to go for. Like I said, they're
washing your son's mouth out with Captain Soap.
So like I said, the Education Uncovered got their hands on a resignation letter from one of the teachers. Quote, "I do not agree with the army-style discipline that Astraea considers normal. I do not feel comfortable walking up
it's
and down
not
the line."
Even...
Yeah. Hold it for a second. "I do not feel comfortable walking up and down the line of students checking their uniforms. I do not feel comfortable asking students to lift their trouser leg to check for shoes and socks."
That will happen to you maybe fucking once in the army. Like, they'll do it once to be a dick, and then they'll go, "I can't be arsed anymore." They will have to do that shit on the fucking daily.
Yeah.
Like, what my point is here, this is fucking worse than the shit that you would need to do in the fucking army. It's going to be more fucking degrading, and these are literal school children.
Oh, this is not the start of the degradation. This is just, you know, I mean, this is just the start. It gets more interesting. Quote the article again. "The teacher said that in cases where the child had an incorrect uniform or like was missing a sock or something, I guess, they were being asked to change in a small room, sometimes in front of other children or adults. Some had to put shoes and socks back on, which had already been worn by someone else. The former resulting, she said, in sometimes painful blisters or uncomfortable feet for the day." You know, just fine. And if you thought
So actually genuinely worse than the fucking army quality.
Yeah. And if you thought, like I said, this is not
welcome
just
to
like...
Astraea Academy, the school that will give your kid trench foot. Stick that on the fucking brochure.
It might also, you know, it like I said, it's not just for the kids. It's also it applies the same sort of logic to the teachers themselves, which is fucking wild. quote the resignation letter. "I do not agree with the perpetual micromanagement of staff and the lack of development opportunity. This causes staff to feel as if they are constantly watched, patronized, and undervalued. Astraea seems to be forgetting that teachers are educated professionals who do not need to spend 15 minutes in the morning practicing saying good morning. Unfortunately, practicing good morning, goodbye, and walk with pace and purpose are the only professional development options available to teaching staff at the Beowulf Academy.
Oh, like, the whole point of this is that you make them fucking miserable so that they then go out and take it out on the kids. Like, that's yes. The whole reason that you do that kind of shit. That's what it's all done by design. But, like, what other hiring, like, requirements? Do they hire any fucking dipshit they can and just, like, rope them into, well, it's the only job you'll probably get
Pulse,
shit?
Reckless disregard for human rights. And a hatred of all mankind.
Oh, so
this is the thing, though. So this is like a fucking extra paid for school. It's got to have some sort of high standards and qualities that it can deliver at least on fucking exam days. So, like, if you're going to maintain results, you need to have, like, able, decent teachers to do that. So why are they still there if they're actually fucking decent teachers? Like, surely they will just fuck off to a better job very quickly.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, David, because, like, part of the answer
at least
is
one of them is.
Part of the answer is that in that town, I think it's called St. Knott's, in Cambridgeshire. It's Cambridgeshire. There's only one other school that, you know, if you live locally, that you could work at. The only problem is that school's also run by Australia. So if you are a child and live in that town, you don't get to have a choice. You are just educated by.
Yeah, the kids had never have a fucking choice with this kind of shit. Like, I mean, even if they did have a choice, it wouldn't matter because their parents have said, we're paying for you to go to this place that's apparently good, fuck you. But it's the teacher point of view that I'm thinking about.
David, I don't think this is paid in the way you think it is. Isn't this the Academy voucher bullshit, Rob?
I don't rightly know if I'm completely honest with you. Like, I'm sure it leads in. I don't think we have vouchers in the UK. Like, I don't think that system exists. So, like,
isn't it the whole thing that this is these are the academies that are replacing state schooling essentially?
Yeah. But that's not on a voucher basis. That's just like, you know, they just took formerly public state schools and then just give them over to private equity, which is Australia is a for-profit education institution. It's not, you know, it's not an alternative. It's just a literal turnover.
All right. Okay, yeah, but it gets state money rather than private money. Right, well, in that case, the teachers all have a moral obligation to just fucking boycott the places and not work in.
Well, I mean, apart from the teachers, they're not the only ones, like, boycotting this place. Like, so those two schools, both in the, and one more run also by Australia in the Cambridgeshire area, were, like, among the only, were three of the five schools that could not fill their place with students this year, i.e. these places are so shit, even British parents don't want to consider sending their kids there, which is really fucking, you know, then you've really, really hit the high score as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, considering, I mean, Britain and, you know, much of the West at large is, you know, a country that just detests teenagers to its very core. It is, like you say, Rob, it is impressive to be that bad.
Yeah. I'll read one last line from the article and then we'll move on. But, quote, at the time of writing, nearly 900 people had signed a petition calling for the establishment of a secondary school in the St. Knott's area, which is not run by Australia. So, like, they almost got, like, 1,000 who I assume are adults to say, please, God, can someone build a school not run by these fucking psychopaths? Which, again, that's British parents saying, I don't want this for my child. That's pretty, you know, that's pretty fucking impressive.
You've got a critical mass of them that are that fucking opposed to this shit, then clearly something is fucking bad.
Yeah. So
yeah, weirdly enough, people don't want to send their kids to the school that is basically the high school out of Starship Troopers.
So I wanted to...
You see that at the moment, they're all praying for it to turn into Buenos Aires.
Hi, this is Rob. I'm disturbing your delightful in-ear entertainment to tell you that we have a Patreon at patreon.com/praxiscast. You can go there for more episodes, our Discord, bonus clips, and much, much more. This is also me begging you for your money in exchange for goods and services. Thank you. Oh, very well then. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. lobby. Let's all go to the lobby, get ourselves some snacks. Bye. So for tonight's main story, I wanted to read you like a truly like the most Telegraph article I've found in a really long time. Because it has all the bits of like being the Telegraph, but in like there's a twist to the tale. So for a bit of context, the guy who wrote this, William Sitwell, is normally the restaurant critic for the Telegraph, but he's having a go at some other material. Just so you get a flavor of the man, a previous article published the day before this one said that it was necessary for men to have quote unquote a non-negotiable man cave to ensure marital bliss.
I hate this infantilization of being an adult so fucking much. I consider this the like, you know, the right-wing version of adulting. That awful cringe. I hate it so much.
All right. So, but this article is not that one, though I read it and I was like, oh, we'll do that one another day because it is also atrocious. So this is in response to the publication of a book called A Very Private School. It's the school memoirs of Charles Spencer, who is the brother of Diana, you know, she of the Fiat Uno, and a high aristocrat with a big estate, you know, and he wrote this book about his time at a public school called Maidwell Hall. Incidentally, it's also where William Sitwell, the author of the piece, went. That'll become abundantly clear during the piece. Just a little bit of the review of that book from the Financial Times, just so we have like a bit of a sense of what Charles Spencer talks about in that book, just to keep that in mind when we start talking about, when I start reading from the article. This is from the FT. The school, Maidwell Hall, proved to be an amputation, Spencer writes. Pastoral care didn't exist. Medical care, including expecting boys to swallow laxatives without water if their bowels weren't operating regularly so as to minimize washing up. Boys were beaten with slippers if, say, they spilt their milk a few times. They were whipped with a cane for lying. The bully of a headmaster, Jake Porch, fondled some boys' genitals shortly after he beat their backsides, Spencer
Jesus
alleges.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And now I'll start reading from again by William Sitwell. The title is "The Relentless Cruelty of the English Upper Classes is a Defenseless Myth." Cold dips, bullying, and meanness. Come on, Earl Spencer. Those experiences were valuable life lessons.
Whoa. Yeah.
Whoa, that is a scorching hot take.
Mm. Yeah.
What if instead of reading the rest of this article, we...
Steal yourself for a weekend of toff bashing. Earl Spencer's childhood...
Yeah, I'm in for that.
I mean, so am I, but like, this is one of those rare cases, and again, like, I don't feel too bad for the guy because he has a massive stately home and, you know, is in with the royal family and so on and so forth, but like, the horrors that this man describes in that book about his own childhood, I don't care how wealthy you are or where you come from, that's still fucking scarring and disturbing.
I wonder if these immensely traumatizing events that took place in, you know, these various rich people's childhoods has any bearing on the way they approach life in adulthood. Who's to say, really?
Mysteries yeah. abound.
Earl Spencer's childhood memoir is being trailed, and he's taking a croquet mallet to the upper classes, private schools, the whole damn shooting match.
Groovy.
Yeah. Again, good. Today, at the age of 59, a successful author, chatelaine of one of the most beautiful stately homes in England, father of several very handsome, beautiful, and charming children, he is nevertheless scarred.
Father of a series of extremely handsome, large adult sons.
What was that word for like his relationship to the stately home?
Chatelaine. Lord of the manor, whatever. That? It's just a very fancy way of saying owns big house. Anyway, sorry, not from decades of unpleasant prep dealings, nor the travails and tragedy of his older sister Diana, but from his prep school, his parents, and the filthy cruelty of the upper class system that saw him abandoned and desolate as a young boy. Again, I reference you to the stuff I just read from the Financial Times when, you know, this guy is, when William Sitwell is just, you know, fucking just, yeah. Writing in A Very Private School, the book, he talks about how he was starved of feminine warmth in his time at Maidwell Hall in Northamptonshire as one of casual cruelty, sexual assault, and other perversions. The very fact of him being there, thus the deliberate and brutal decision of his parents, heartless and entrenched members of the English aristocracy. If anyone's ever suspected that British toffs were a uniquely vile and merciless category of people, here is the proof. Now, again, in the book, I've read some of the reviews, and it, you know, he does mention that one of the reasons his parents leave him at this fucking ghastly school filled with, you know, emotional and alleged sexual torture is that his parents, you know, his parents both went to public schools themselves, so said, well, good for us, good for you, and basically also said, well, we want to have a life without children, but we have them, so off to boarding school you go. Again, you know, my limited sympathies for people who live in homes with deer parks, etc., etc., but still and all. One of their own, an earl, uncle to princes, seriously landed, stately house, replete with deer park, fine furniture and fabulous paintings, is dishing the dirt from within. As Prince Harry's spare attempted to tear down the monarchy, so Spencer's A Very Private Public School, A Very Private School, bulldozes, buries, and flattens the British knob.
Oh, fuck.
Good.
Off.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
It needs destroying.
Yeah. Like, how awful that he's blowing the whistle on our Mother of Wile primary school. Like, fuck off.
Contrast, of course, with good people. Your classic dynastic grandee sitting in their frayed jumper, wondering if they might have in fact switched the heating off a little too early in the season, will be turning the pages of the weekend press as if they are sheets of lead. So, you know, the it's because the real aristocracy, the ones, you know, who are barely clinging on to their stately homes and, you know, can't afford to have the heating turned on, you know, like commoners or something, will be dreading the press because, you know, somebody has said, look, public schools are actually an engine not just of class reproduction, but of, you know, social and sexual torture, alleged sexual torture.
Right, but did you ever consider that they could actually afford to put the heating on if they would simply just not pay some cunt to deal with the bees?
Or, you know, live in a normal size house.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we get into more of the, you know, about how it is in fact the British upper classes that are being bullied. For the British upper classes are at the constant mercy of brutal attack. If any other sector of society was subjected to such repeated and remorseless assault, it would be the 10 past 8 subject on the Today programme.
Very sincerely, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Questions would be asked in Parliament. George Galloway would retweet the outrages.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here we fucking go. Wow.
Yeah.
I've got your fucking... right here, mate. Come and collect it.
Yes, scion of even-handed application of media hysteria, George Galloway.
They're really gonna, if they keep with this through line, they're gonna build him up even bigger than he already fucking is. Like,
oh, buddy. While the attack by memoir is less regular, the full frontal by the media is constant. Barely a week passes by without a savage betrayal of the upper classes on television.
What does that mean? Like, literally, what does that mean? What are you referring to? Are you referring to, like, the, like, royal family being hounded by the press? Like, which, you know, is, I mean, not great for the people involved, but, like, ultimately, that is a result of the media and the royal family being so, like, dependent
really weird
on one
together.
Another.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you actually talking about? Like, it's not as though fucking Karl Marx is writing in The Guardian. what are you talking about?
If it's such an unbearable trauma to be a member of the aristocracy, then just fucking There you go. Solve both of our problems with one stone.
I'll do what that one aristocrat did when he inherited, which was he intentionally, like, he gave all his grounds, etc., to the National Trust, like, for real, gave the money to charity and just went and got a fucking job and lived a normal life. Like, it was quite a scandal, and, they didn't like to talk about it, but that is an option you can just do. You can go, no, fuck it, and abdicate.
You can just leave.
Yeah.
Oh no, I have bought for myself an enormous gilded cage from which I cannot escape, except for the fact the door is completely unlocked.
Yeah.
I've been told a million times that being a lord of the land is a real job, and if it's a real job, then you can just fucking quit.
Yeah. Well, Alistair, I'm glad you're asking, what are you actually on about? I'll let Mr. Sitwell explain. Take One Day, the rather beautiful and heartbreaking portrayal of a friendship from a couple's first meeting at their graduation until their early 40s. So what he's complaining about is Netflix series.
Oh, is and he going to complain about Saltburn as well?
Yes, actually, next paragraph.
Oh, my God.
So hang on. When he's talking about, like, nightly fucking on the television, rich people are getting attacked. Is that because he assumes someone is watching this on Netflix every night? Is that how he's worked that one out?
Yeah, I think so. I am not talking about Leo Woodall's breathtakingly talented portrayal of the upper-class middle-class boy Dexter, or his remote but thawing father played by Tim McInerney. No, the Netflix series is so good because it feels so grounded in reality. There's just one bunch of unreal, over-the-top, horrid, cold, snooty, out-of-touch, brutal, seriously weird, unfriendly and frankly revolting characters, and they are the Toffs. Dex's first wife, Sylvie.
Turn your fucking TV screen on.
There is the pompous mother, ignorant, thick and lazy, the evil twin brothers. I haven't watched this, so I'm not going to go into this. All the Aristos are portrayed as just evil. And then here we go, Alistair.
Good. Sounds accurate.
Yeah.
Sounds like a real slice of life.
Saltburn is also dishing it out with the portrayal of the titled Catton family, eccentric, snobbish, and peculiar, whose combined character and ownership of a grand house makes them deserving of depraved acts and death.
Uh-huh.
And it's everywhere
else.
Yeah,
it's bad when you lay it all out like that.
It really is. And it's everywhere else. The pasting dished out to snooty British pilots by the cool US airmen of the Apple TV's Masters of the Air. Not to mention every episode of every gentle evening drama. Every gentle evening drama? Yes, every gentle evening drama. Midsummer Murders, Heartbeat, Death in Paradise, every single modern interpretation of Agatha Christie, Endeavour, Lewis, and Inspector Morse.
Heartbeat's still on. Did that not finish like fucking 20 years ago?
Well, you mentioned Inspector Morse and that did, so...
Yeah.
Imagine sitting there for like 20 years with just like seething hatred of one particular TV show. It's like these particular TV shows, and oh my God, I'll show them right.
I can't wait for the follow-up article about how Taggart was such an attack on Scottish identity. Just extremely here for it.
This lad's just sitting around watching UK TV Gold and getting like furious.
Someone bought this guy a fucking Netflix subscription as like an attack.
Do you think his US publications talk about Columbo? Like, is it branded like that by continent or?
From Bergerac to A Touch of Frost, the Toffs are bad, dim, and if they're not just stupid, they are guilty.
Jesus.
Wow, I wonder how someone could come to the conclusion that the aristocrats in this country and, broadly worldwide are out of touch with the common man. I wonder how...
The common man who watches Bergerac in 2024.
Jamie, what you need to show this guy the Sweeney and blow his fucking mind.
Yeah.
except Downton Abbey, which is written by the brilliant uber-posh scribbler Julian Fellowes, but whose plot lines are so infuriating the characters become nothing more than unlikely cartoon characters. So, you know, even the good guys are bad guys, as it fucking turns out. It is hardly surprising, then, that the world is left with the view that the Toffs are categorically revolting. it's Bergerac what done it.
Yeah.
This guy,
that's
like,
the only reason that I hate Aristos is the telly.
This guy unfolding a miles-long fucking scroll with two columns on it, one where all the bad like fucking aristocrats on TV, and it's just going on forever with every TV show that's ever been made. And on the right, there's the good ones, and it just says Top Cat.
Oh, I see what this guy's doing. He's saying that there aren't enough positive role models for rich people. That's what the problem is. This is why they're like this.
What, you're saying that life imitates art? Surely not.
What we need, what we've always needed, is a Bergerac for the landed gentry. I see that so clearly now.
What if we made an entire new season of Poirot, but every single fucking time it's the gardener that did it?
Do you think this guy watches Succession and goes, oh, look at this, the fucking hoi polloi getting such a sympathetic portrayal? Like, do you think
this man has not watched any TV produced after Tony Blair became fucking Prime Minister?
Well, except Downton Abbey, but yeah, in general.
He's heard of it. He's no fucking watched it.
He tried it once and didn't like it.
Aye.
So, when a well-known aristo decides to blame his character defects, his life struggles, and his personal problems on his tough background, publishers jump with glee and serializing newspapers pump out a jumbo BACS transfer.
The only reason this guy is mad is because it's like, this is a fucking open secret, and he's just said that bit that everybody
you're not supposed
already
to say
out
the thing.
Loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not supposed to tell the fucking... you know, the plebs, what's going on at these places and why we keep producing all these extremely fucked up humans.
Also, did this guy decide not to, like, you know what I mean? Avoid the cliche of saying cut a check by mentioning a fucking Bax transfer.
Yes.
Incredible.
I mean, it is the Telegraph, so, like, you are kind of mandated to sort of, like, spin out your word count like that. So what of this apparent and consistent cruelty? As I've written in the Telegraph, I was at Madewell some 6 years after Earl Spencer, but myself and my contemporaries, who still meet up every few years, were never molested.
Everyone I know's never been assaulted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, strangely, there's like millions of children who went through the Catholic school system in the Catholic Church and came out totally fine, so I guess there's no problem there. Like,
citation
that's how
needed.
It works.
We were presided over by an eccentric crew of peculiar characters, but we did not come away with long-term emotional trauma from the regular slipperings and canings and physical and mental bullying by all the boys, the filthy food, or the tutoring by a man who called himself Uncle Adolf and styled himself with the hair and mustache of Hitler.
You are taking the fucking piss.
This is a dude who has actually been severely traumatized, and this is his, like, no, I wasn't, denial article about it. Holy shit.
Well, it's good to know where the Ernolf Academy got its ideas from.
Yeah, a real differentiation between the public and the private sector. Like,
yeah, if you go
public sector.
Yeah, if you go to a state school, then it's like it's a Charlie Chaplin mustache. If you go to a private, like, you know, public school as they're called, then they're just open about it being Hitler. Yeah, great, love it.
We naughty boys paid the price for bad work, bad actions, or poor work. Uh-huh. So canings, slipperings, mental bullying, filthy food. Again, tutoring by a man who called himself Uncle Adolf. That was, you know, you only got that because, you know, you didn't, you know, you weren't quite in the corridor as probably, you know, as mandated by Estrella.
The problem is twofold. The problem is that all these children got caned and all sorts. The other issue is that as adults, they don't get caned and all sorts. Like... These people are just the fucking
I'm telling
worst.
You now, but they do, but in a very different context.
We naughty boys paid the price for bad actions or poor work, but there was also much care and love from other teachers. He goes on to list some. I won't bother repeating it. Spencer may have been brutalized. Perhaps we were blind to it. But you weren't. You just said, like, one paragraph ago that you got caned, you know, and that there was a man called Adolf Hitler on staff.
Right. Perhaps. No, but that was fine. That was fine. And it was absolutely fine because he's not gay. You see, it's gay to complain about this kind of stuff. That's the problem. And this other guy should have just simply not been less of a male or whatever the fuck. It's just fucking pathetic. That's all this is.
I mean, it's post hoc rationalization through and through, right? It's there's no two ways. About
it. if you want some more of that, let me keep reading. Perhaps we were blind to it, and to this day repress our emotions when there were cold dips.
Maybe.
And mean.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Just maybe. When there were cold dips at meanness, it was a life lesson that not all the world was warm and chocolatey.
What?
Yeah. It, you know, like when you're sexually abused, allegedly, by your headmaster, you know, after a caning, that was just a reminder that the world isn't always nice. You know, it just prepares you for, you know, normal life, if you will.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it does. And then you take your station as someone above all that, and that gives you the right to then issue the canings. Yes. Uh-huh.
Or to write a telegraph column, which is much the same, but in verbal form. I didn't enjoy school as much as the life that began after it, but then that was because I was quite useless at sport and hated working.
Are you sure it wasn't because no one was caning you?
Working is a huge fucking giveaway there, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's a point I will not fault the guy on.
I never missed home.
You do gotta hand it to him on this specifically.
I never missed home. The holidays were quite long enough, brackets, as my mother would agree. You know, a little insight into the normal home life of William Sitwell. Mm. And what an adventure for small boys to be in a place designed specifically for them, brackets, unlike, say, a home, with their friends morning, noon, and night. Why was your home not designed for you? What, you know... Again, he writes this so he can go fuck himself, but, like, why was your home not like a home? Why did you... What the fuck was your home life like if you preferred, you know, Maidwell School with the alleged sexual bully, you know, brutality and physical brutality? Why? What?
This is... Like, all this is just like the Spartans have a lot to fucking answer for, frankly, in a way it comes to raising kids, because this is like it's the same structure just with like the degree of brutality toned down.
Yeah, the woods is actually just a big building with a guy called Uncle Adolf in it.
Well, once again, this podcast comes to the conclusion that Jerry race war is to blame for to society's ills. There is unhappiness and misery in every walk of life, but also plenty of gentle kindness. Today's world of dangerous international affairs, economic uncertainty, and social earthquakes such as gender fluidity need strong individuality.
Oh my god!
You know, it's fine to go to public school and have, like, your emotional nerve endings literally, like, beaten until they stop functioning.
I'm going to tell you right now, this article is getting one star from me unless the guy dies at the end.
So it strikes me that an early life of militaristic schooling, of being left to fend for oneself for a time, to learn to forge friends in extremis, to suffer but live on filthy food, might help grow a little backbone.
No.
What backbone are you trying to grow? The ability to, like, endure physical abuse? Like, what? Why would you need to learn this skill? And
to become a telegraph columnist,
also,
so you can ignore the suffering of hundreds of millions of people.
Do we think this guy has a fucking backbone? Because I fucking don't.
No. I mean, what doesn't kill you makes you more of a manly man, you see.
They also teach one to endure experiences such as that as an adult, where you realize that you and you alone are responsible for your actions. So, while
Bane there is no such thing as society, yes, indeed.
Yeah, they teach from young that no one is coming to save them. Got it.
So, while based on his track record, I have no doubt that Spencer's book will be a harrowing, well-written memoir, it will be a body blow to the English toff. But our and the world's obsession with the very English aristo means they'll be up, back, and fighting with cold dips galore, brackets now the heights of PE fashion, for some time yet.
What?
End of article. Yeah. It's because, you know, even though all TV is nasty, it's because people now do cold water baths, it means that the English aristocrat will survive forever. It'll be good.
I would compare the English aristocrat to the cockroach, but not in terms of survivability.
Yeah, so I read this for a number of reasons, but basically, if you wanted like fucking pure strain Telegraph, I think we could all agree this is that. I've never read anything, you know. And I think it's all very important, just to briefly loop back to where we started, that, you know, Rachel Reeve also expressed her concerns that this precious newspaper, together with the Telegraph, might be sold to a foreign bidder. Heaven forfend, whatever could fucking happen. Mm.
Yeah, it would be a tragedy if the aristos didn't fucking control it directly anymore.
Mm.
It is a wonder that you can stretch out "It never did me any harm" to like 2,000 words.
1150.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it felt like 2,000, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
In all facets, like, how do you write this? And like, how do you like, The fucking nerve stapling that must occur in fucking public schools has to be fucking something. I've never been to one and nor never seen one, but Jesus fucking Christ.
I mean, I remember I watched Ash Sarkar sat down to interview, I can't remember the guy's name, but basically a guy who went through like the public boarding school system and you know, just corroborates all of this horrendous day in day out abuse that these children go through, and it is impossible to deny that this, you know, systematic abuse of children has huge effects on the way they, you know, as adults they approach the world, women, their own children, you know, all relationships. Like, there is a reason, like, you know, with Rob talking about the social reproduction that these schools are built ensure. And
I was just about to say, like, you know, aristocrats have kids, but this is actually how they reproduce.
Yeah, this is the factory. Yeah. This is where they're fucking rolled off a production line as cunts.
Just, yeah, I mean, and also then, like, I mean, again, these are not new numbers, and it's, like, it's barely worth reading at this point, but, like, if you see, like, the amount of people who come from these types of institutions, you know, broken or not, but certainly, you know, molded in a particular way, who then, you know, literally take their places in the ruling class of this country. It's like, no wonder everything is so fucked up. If, like, in the year of our Lord 2024, you could still write, you know, in defense of the child torment nexus. Like, just...
Do you remember?
Jesus.
Do you remember when it leaked a while ago, someone actually had a brief flick of conscience and they leaked the Eton entrance question that was included, which was...
Oh, that was the one. Credit,
We've talked about that before, and yeah, 100%. Like, there is a reason that this is the kind of question that you have to be able to answer.
Yeah,
like, are you the cold calculating machine that years of abuse should have formed you into? Yes or no?
Yeah, are you prepared to turn a machine gun on rioting, starving people, essentially? And like, this is the system that...
No, are you prepared to justify?
Right?
Are you prepared to justify?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the crucial point.
The void
talking about a post hoc rationalisation. The void cunt test.
Anyway, shall we move on and do some, you know, speaking of fucking monsters who had public school educations, shall we do some comment or commentary at?
I didn't get any.
Oh, well. ripped Hooray.
Last night. No, I did, actually. I'm
fucking
oh. The ups and downs on this podcast are incomprehensible.
It's a real roller coaster. Well done, everyone, for ruining Mother's Day for the Princess of Wales. I hope you're proud of yourselves.
Yes.
A youngish mum posts a lovely photo of herself surrounded by her beaming kids, and instead of saying, "Ah," oh, you pore over it like lunatic sleuths for signs of villainous photoshopping. End result, mum issues an apology for doing something sweet on Mother's Day. You all need to get off the internet. Is that comment or commentary?
She did neither of those things. I'm sorry.
What the
absolute shit. Speaking of proof of life, by the way, like, God damn.
No, have you not seen all the pictures that have been taken of her? Like, she's some kind of yeti.
I also have you caught the articles where they're promoting the what's it, Marchese of whatever it is?
Yeah, the one who we can't
actually explain. Well, we can't explain on the podcast what her relationship to William is, but stay tuned.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. This smells of commentariat. Because I'm also willing to bet that whoever wrote this has some very salty opinions about Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
I think it's comment for the same reason. I think it's unhinged enough that it's like some royal stan, essentially, probably posting on St. Meghan Markle.
The commentariat only because of the phrase villainous Photoshop.
Yeah, I think that's the key phrase there, because this is indecipherable from... like a comment from commentariat, because the only difference is if it isn't commentariat, it's because they haven't got an article, their own article to be able to post it in. So I'm going to say commentariat as well.
I'll stick with comment.
It was Brendan O'Neill in The Spectator. the article was titled "Leave Kate Middleton Alone."
Incredible.
I'm not
why,
even sad.
Why didn't he post a tearful video declaring this?
All right. There was something deeply unsettling about this Taliban-style assault on a piece of art. It had a medieval feel. A clearly riled individual under the spell of some kind of fear or animus, using violence to try and cleanse the world of a sinful image. It feels like year zero fanaticism, a Red Guard style effort to scrub the problematic from public view. Is that comment or commentariat?
Commentariat.
Yeah, commentariat.
Yeah, commentariat.
That's commentariat. That, this is about that protester that like sprayed some paint on the Balfour thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if in true Red Guard style, we should replace it with a bust of Lenin. Like, why not?
Yeah, yeah, that was Brendan O'Neill in The Spectator.
Oh, wow.
Is it the same article?
And the article was titled "The Disgusting Defacement of Lord Balfour's Painting."
Holy shit! He's like, we haven't had a good Brendan in a while. You know, he's this is old school Brendan. This is, you know.
See, back in my day, kids, boobs were everywhere. It was the 1990s and early 2000s. We had Pamela Anderson and Baywatch. Jennifer Love Hewitt graced the cover of Maxim with her boobs. Is that comment or commentary?
We get it. You didn't have access to the internet. Jesus fucking Christ.
It's that... Oh,
I'm going to say comment.
Commentary, and it's fucking Jeremy Clarkson or Richard Madeley.
Yeah, probably, but commentary.
That's comment. Jesus Christ. A defense of like loaded mag in the year of our Lord 2024.
In defense of Woods porno mags.
That was Bridget Fetisi in The Spectator.
Fucking
more
hell.
Like Bridget the article was
titled "Sydney Sweeney and the Return of Real Body Positivity."
Oh, for fuck's
in
sake.
Case you're unfamiliar with that. There was an actress presented like fucking Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And when she did the sign off at the end, you could see her boobs. Like, holy shit. Revelator.
Oh, is this why all the right wing freaks are like saying that like looking at like boobs makes you like a gay weakling now?
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, that's it. Like she wore a low cut dress on TV, and because she's like thin and blonde, we're back, baby. Do you know what I mean? Never again. Never again will the mean lady on the front of like Swimsuit Illustrated, like fucking or whatever the fuck it was, like haunt our thoughts.
I'm so glad they made the boobs unwoke.
Yeah. Maybe she's in a coma. Maybe she's dead. Maybe she's divorced William. Maybe she's done a runner from royalty entirely. That there is not one sliver of proof for any of these wild claims matters not a jot to the truthers. They're too far down the rabbit hole of Kate hysteria, and many will never re-emerge. Even when she returns to public life, they'll carry on. Brace yourselves for maniacal analyses of every future pic of the princess as nutters wonder. Is that really her? Is that comment or commentary?
I want to say that's fucking Brendan again, but I don't even think the Spectator would let you type that, so... Yeah.
There's no way a British publication is going to mention the divorce word anywhere near the royals. No way. Comment.
I think they would. I think Sarah Vine would. I think that's the Daily Mail.
I'm going to say comment purely because we've had a lot of commentary.
What did you say, David?
I said it might be Brendan, but probably comment.
Well, it was Brendan O'Neill in the Spectator.
Shit!
From the previous article, leave Kate Middleton alone.
2-for-1 special.
See, Jamie, I've figured out your MOB comment or commentary. You'll go to two places and you'll probably be bold enough to use one of them at least twice.
Yeah, and?
No, just observing.
Hey, David's observing it in the hope that causes you not to do it again, but the fact that you know he's doing that means he might just do it again. And so,
No, if anything, I'm hoping he continues to do it so that I can continue to get things right.
All right, thank you, the Riddlers. Can I get on with it now?
I'm just trying to figure out which drink is poisoned.
Stop treating Catherine like a convicted criminal. It was a happy photo of a lovely mum and her three wonderful children. From all the furore over the photo, anyone would think the Princess of Wales had committed the most heinous crime ever. Is that comment or commentary?
Did you really just want to do an article read, Jamie? Is that what it is? I'm going to say comment.
Yeah, I think this is the rare double bluff. This is commentary, but it's not Brendan.
I think it's a triple bluff. I think this is commentary again.
Yes, Brendan.
That was a comment in the Express.
For fuck's sake.
Riddle them, boys. Oh, okay, cool. I gave you all the clues, Mr. Podcast.
That was actually the best comment or commentary that we've had in some time, so credit where it's due. That was fun.
Oh. Well, thank you very much for listening. If you would like bonus episodes, they're available. Patreon.com/PraxisCast.
If we're doing the ad, do we want to do this at the end?
No, yeah, yes. We do. Fuck it. Like, if you listened this long, I've given you another fucking reminder. We're doing this shit again. Patreon.com/PraxisCast. Merch is available. PraxisCast.tml.com. Streams, they're things that happen sometimes. That's twitch.tv/PraxisCast. And you should listen to Peace at Home, a podcast that I was allowed to guest on for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I've also guested on, which is also good in Patreon form, where we just ended up in annoying Sinan for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
They had it coming.
Yeah, I learned all about the Turkish George Galloway this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, also as a future heads up, I think somewhere early April, I'm going to be doing another book review with them on their stream.
No.
More details on the stream as we get them.
Oh, okay. So long as it's on the stream and not here, that's fine. You can eat your surstromming elsewhere. Thank you very much. Do not stink up our kitchen with it.
Well, and on that threatening note.
Yes. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.
Goodbye.
See you.
Bye. Goodbye.